Hello, and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever, presented by the Sideshow Network, the show where we tell you about our crappy comic book collection. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
And today we have a very special guest joining us.
Yes, we do. It's a return guest. You may remember him from one of our episodes that we taped at the podcast festival this past fall. He read a Power Man and Iron Fist book.
Yes.
We have the mighty Chris Mancini from Comedy Film Nerds.
Yay.
Back here with us.
Great to be back, guys. And you didn't disappoint with two new reading opuses.
now you had to read two. And these were picked, well, one of these was picked at random.
Mm-hmm.
This one, we just came in, the first one we're going to read came into our possession recently.
Yeah.
And
you know, you just stick your hand into the long box and whatever comes out.
Actually, it's more digital this time because I have an app.
It's a
sorting app for all my books, so I know that mm-hmm. they're what I have, so I don't buy things that are multiple.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought I was the only one who did that.
No. It started becoming a problem.
After we started buying like three or four of the same one, now we check.
Well, it started getting really tough because at one point I was buying all the DC, I found all the DC Who's Who's
mm-hmm.
from the 80s, but I couldn't remember which ones I had or didn't have, so there was a few multiples that I would buy. And I was like, shit, that sucks because I could have spent that money on something else. So now here I am able to, you know, keep track. So it has an option, though, where if you shake it, it picks a random book from your thing.
Oh, that's cool.
So I was like, okay, well, what are we going to read? And up came
nice.
My second book. But this this first one was...
sometimes people on my Christmas list get an extra graphic novel because I mistakenly picked up a duplicate.
So speaking of graphic novels, you're here specifically also as well to promote a Kickstarter project that
yes.
you are presenting to the folks. Would you care to go ahead and just fill people in?
Absolutely. This is a really special graphic novel. It's a comedy fantasy. And it started out with the idea of that, you know, the kids that I've always, when I grew up reading fairy tales and, you know, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, I always wanted to go into one of those worlds. And I thought that would mm-hmm. be really cool. But then I thought, what happens to those kids when they come back, they grow up, they're 30, and they're pining away for their childhoods at 10 when they saved a world. Now they work in a comic book store and their life is miserable. And then what happens if that world comes calling again and they have to go back in as an adult? So that's the premise for Long Ago and Far Away, which is my Kickstarter graphic novel. And I connected with a great artist, Fernando Pinto, who's from Chile. And we put it together. It's on Kickstarter until, I believe, May 2nd. So you have a little bit of time, but don't delay. Please help. We're doing well, but you know every little bit helps. It's even like a $5 donation really helps. But there's really cool rewards that you get the digital book. You get the hard, it's a soft cover, but it's you know a physical book in your hand that we will ship out.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that was interesting about it is I wanted to make it really funny. And so there's a lot of jokes about elves and witches and everything else. But at its core, it became a really personal story for me. Whereas as we're kids, we have like a childhood sense of wonder of everything. You know,
we
love fairy tales and we love stories. And as we become jaded adults, we lose that a little bit.
Yeah.
And sometimes we lose it a lot. So I always thought, well, like, how do you gain it back? Because that's part of who you are and you don't want to lose that part of yourself. So those are kind of the underlining themes of the graphic novel, in addition to like things about jokes about giant dwarves. And it's like, you're not a giant dwarf. You're just a guy with a beard. You know,
it's funny as I took a second to think about that joke and I went, oh, I get it. Okay. That's a good one. And actually, the first couple pages are up
yes.
as a preview. Yep.
Yeah. I wanted to make sure people could get a taste of it. So if you go to the Kickstarter page, there's a video that goes in more depth. And also you can download like the first 15 pages and especially like some bonus pages and content, so you can really get a feel for it. But it's one of those projects that, you know, it's been in development, it's been in, you know, for animation houses and production companies, and it just never let me go. It was like,
yeah.
no, you have to get me out into the world. If it, you know, if we're in development here, no, graphic novel. Mm-hmm. And then I actually got the help of some people in the industry, like Mark Wade.
I saw that.
Yeah. He's really cool. It was supposed to go onto his digital arm, but then the funding fell through. But he's like, I don't care. I love this. I'm going to support it. So He's been really supportive. I've got endorsements from Mark Guggenheim, you know, showrunner for Arrow.
And, Googie.
Yep, Googie.
I call, because he's been on a few podcasts here on Sideshow.
Yes.
And I got to meet the guy, and I was like, every time I see him come to TV, I'll yell, Googie!
Yeah.
Googie! Everybody, Googie!
Yeah, and then I got an endorsement from Mark Allen Miller, who works with Clive Barker and writes the Hellraiser comics. And I sent a tweet out, and I said, I have endorsements from all comic creators named Mark. So, and then I tweeted Mark Millar. How about it?
Yeah.
Accepting all marks.
Yes.
that's a good one. I like it too. From the preview I read, and
excellent.
It's a very you could just definitely tell it's you can tell it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And you know, you just don't really know denying that, and you know, I just you could sense too. I think you even just from the first couple of pages you set up the main character really well.
Cool.
I think
cool.
There's a real like it's kind of like a movie in a way.
Yes.
It's like you just automatically know this guy and you're like, okay, mm-hmm. Well, where's he gonna go from here?
Right.
You know. So mm-hmm. And I think that should be, and you guys should check this out. You know, support it, and you know, and let this become a thing, because you definitely will not be disappointed. And I like one of the prizes or the tiers is you get to if you spend the most money, you will be you pay for the airfare, or is it the person gets to come watch a movie with you and Chris and be on a spoiler rep?
Oh yeah, no, we don't pay the airfare, but it's $1,000 tier, and then we'll watch a movie with you, Graham and I will, and then we'll do a spoiler rep with you for Comedy Film Nerds.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome!
And one of the highest tiers is for $5,000. We'll actually make your own comic. Like
that's
if you're a creator and you're like, you know, I don't know how to get this made. As I talk to the artist and we're like, no, we'll do 10 pages of your book. I'll write it. He'll illustrate it, color it, and do lettering. So if it's a dream of yours too, I want to pay it forward. If you're helping me make mine, you know, Fernando and I can help you make yours.
That's cool.
That's awesome. And how exactly will people get in if they want to support this? How do they do that?
They can. The easiest thing is just go to Kickstarter and type in Long Ago and Far Away and it'll come right up.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So definitely do that. And we will not feature that comic on this show.
No.
Thank you.
It will not be on this show, except for right now when we're talking about the Kickstarter.
I mean, this is why I was excited to come on this show, too. It's like, I know, like, everything's so specialized with podcasts. And now I know comic book fans are actually listening to the show.
Yeah, no, we have some folks that check the show out, you know, they are...
Oh, they're into comics.
You can't not be into comics. Yeah. I mean, and, you can maybe... You know, we did get... we did get, like an iTunes review that was very, like... specific about something. I was like, where did this come from? I mean, we don't really talk about it that much, but okay. Yeah.
But I did want to say, because you actually have a poster with you right now, the art is fantastic.
Yes.
It's so cool. It's brightly colored. It just like draws you right in. I watched your video. I thought it was hilariously funny.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
Support this. Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Very cool. So let's get into our first book then. Let's hop right into this.
Oh, yes.
You know, but before we start, I did notice something that those two books had in common, and I want to get back to it after we're done.
Okay, I'm excited for this.
This was really fascinating to me. Both of these books, when you peel away the layers of ridiculousness and presentation, they had very serious underlying themes that resonate today.
Yes, no, absolutely. So, I would agree with that. We can talk about.
What about not wearing t-shirts under your clothes?
Yes, that too.
Very serious things.
It's a problem. That's really what we're here to talk about today, is how important undershirts are.
Because a metal suit wouldn't chafe at all.
I have a lot to...
I have a lot of questions.
I actually have...
When I was reading this book the first time, like I saw that, I was like, what the hell?
This makes no sense.
And we'll get to... And there's actually... I have a theory.
I can't wait to hear it.
I'll get to this in a second.
All right.
We'll get to that part. But okay, so the first book we're reading is Iron Man number 202 from January 1986. Okay. And on the cover, it's Tony or Iron Man is Tony in the suit. He is dressed in the Silver Centurion version, which is probably my favorite version. I love looking at this.
How long was he in Silver Centurion version?
Oh, geez. It probably was for a couple of years. I don't think it lasted that long.
Right.
Because it was like this. It started with the 200th issue.
Longer than Spider-Man's black costume?
Well, Spider-Man's black costume, well, that was only for... I don't know my chronology for Spider-Man.
Here's the thing: I don't know my costume chronology, I have accuracy,
but like, yeah, how long was he in this thing? But I mean,
I would have to do research to find that out. Well, that doesn't happen on this show.
When he joined, when Tony joined West Coast Avengers, which is in this book, like he, was wearing the suit for a while,
right?
So maybe probably for a couple of years. And on the cover, it's Tony in a suit, and he's watching the Fixer pointing a gun to Kazar. Is it Kazar or Kazar?
Go with Kazar. That sounds great. Right.
Kazar's head, and he's pointing. Kazar is not dressed like he is in the.
He's just wearing slacks.
He's dressed kind of like.
I like it because it rhymes with Lazar.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that works.
So he is he's dressed in some casual clothes, and he's slacks. About to get shot. And
what's California?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also. Doing the button down open almost to his navel. He's on vacation. He's relaxing.
This is a very Mark Singer, Richard Dean Anderson look he's got going on here. So he kind of watched MacGyver and was like,
well, going all Beastmaster.
he went full Beastmaster here. But yeah, so it says, Fixer is telling Iron Man, okay, Iron Man, give me your armor or the Jungle Boy dies.
Right.
Yep.
And we are going to see featuring the hijinks, high-tech hijinks of the Fixer, which makes it kind of fun.
Yeah, it does.
We're going to have to talk about
that. Hijinks are fun.
Yeah. Hijinks are fun. He is not being fun.
No, mm-hmm. And I don't know if I would agree with super high-tech in this book, but I don't know. Maybe when it was written, we'll go with that.
Yeah. Anyway, so we start. Okay, so go ahead.
Oh, you can go.
Well, you can start.
All right, so we start, and we've got Tony Stark, and he is flying along, I believe, like... with some missiles.
He's doing some tests.
So he's like flying along in his little splash page, checking to see if his armor works, really, if he can take
can he take
missile blasts.
Right.
And the answer, yes.
Of course he can.
Yes, he can.
Not only does he have an inertial dampener in his suit for when he crashes, he has a, kinetic dampener.
Yeah.
When something comes into him.
He's got like a fancy force field. Yeah. And he's like, hey, the force field works. I'm like, well, okay, well, then you're pretty much perfect. What's the problem? But.
Yeah. Hashtag kinetic dampener.
Yeah. Get the kids up on that.
Yeah. The longest hashtag.
So he's tested it out, and Rhodey, who is kind of being a little bit sad because he's like, man, I wish I was still in Iron Man.
Yeah, that's right.
Didn't we read in Iron Man where he was Iron Man?
Yeah, he had Iron Envy.
Yeah, he's got.
That's
yeah,
right. I remember that.
He calls. Yeah, he's dressed as he was Iron Man when Tony was drinking.
Yes,
and then Tony came back and he actually didn't realize this until I reread it again. But he was Iron Man during Secret Wars.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because it's very like. It's like, you're the guy, who are you? Like, there's not a lot of trust at some point.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know him because he's new.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, he was Iron Man during Secret Wars because Tony was, just indisposed from all the stuff that happened after, his alcohol addiction and then Otto Bastain took him down and all that. Mm-hmm. So, but Tony sets out this armor. It is dope. He does a thing where
he's so happy.
He's flying into the Avengers compound. He pulls up at the last second because he's like, ha-ha, that would have left a dent.
Yeah, it's basically that scene in Top Gun where Maverick buzzes the tower. He's like, check me out.
Yep.
Sonic boom, the whole nine.
We could also actually just realize we get this very like reflective 80s album cover of him flying up. And in the background, you get like
that one right there.
A vision of him, of his face like looking up. Yep. It's like a very...
A heavy metal band that wanted to use that panel somewhere in the 80s.
It'd be more like a yacht rock album. It's like Christopher Cross is Iron Man, something like that. But so he's they're him and Rhodey are talking, and it turns out there's a distress signal coming from a plane near Santa Barbara, and thank God Iron Man is in a suit. But the problem is that his juice is running low.
Doesn't have a lot of power.
He did not stick the power cord in properly.
He hasn't charged it, basically. He wasn't able to find the charger. So he's like, all right, well, I'm going to do it anyway. So he goes and he saves the plane.
He's a goddamn hero.
Exactly. Right. He's Tony Stark. So he's so excited. And he's like, yay, I did it. It's so great.
Even though I was on low power, I still was able to do it.
Yeah, so, I was able to send that text message with 1% battery life. Everything was very exciting. So, of course, this is on TV because it's like a jetliner. And we have somebody who's watching him.
Well, I have questions.
Yes.
I have a question. First of all, we'll go ahead and explain what's going on here.
So we see somebody from the back watching this on, of course, a nefarious giant computer.
Right.
As all supervillains do.
And God knows where the camera placement was.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like the best camera placement.
like an overhead aerial shot.
Right. Yeah, like this is a crane cam.
It is very good and pumped into... Who, I guess, we'll just say, it's the fixer.
It's the fixer.
Surprise, yes. It's the guy who's on the cover of the
album.
Of the Christopher Cross album. It's, fixing this life by
this
Christopher
is, this
Cross.
This is Iron Man plays the hits. So he's like, man, he was able to do that. That armor must be awesome. Well, obviously, I have to steal it.
Guys, word is on the street is Iron Man is awesome.
And since it's a new color.
Yes.
He's very...
It's even better.
Yeah.
So then we cut to Kazar driving along in a convertible, thinking about all the things that he's been through.
It's kind of... Here's the thing.
This gets a little weird.
Well, first of all, let's just say this for a minute. Kazar, I'm only used to him just being in the Savage Land.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's pretty much his thing. Like, him...
Not in a disco shirt.
No.
Not in a
convertible.
Not in a disco shirt. Driving a convertible that, as we find out, he literally learned to drive, like...
Like, 10 minutes ago.
Yeah,
like
2 days ago or whatever. Yeah.
Like, he literally was just like, I drive now.
But
he's driving across country, and he's thinking about what led him to this spot.
Right. So they were in the Savage Lands, him and his wife, Shanna... And Terminus, I guess, is a giant robot, showed up, destroyed everything. They got out. Okay, so now here they are in modern day. And he likes to eat dinner without a shirt on, as we see here. So him and his wife, he's rocking the Larry Merrick. He absolutely is. A half-clothed man. So he's like, oh, you know, I've got so many personal demons and things are so hard for me. You know what? I have to go alone, like, go away forever, or not forever, but just to, like, get myself together. I have to go get to know
I have to
me.
Go somewhere and wear clothes and get my wild oats.
My favorite part.
Stop wearing
He's like, you know, he's a warrior from the jungle who's faced down death many, many times, but the thing that really scares him is fatherhood and being married.
Yes.
So he's like, that's it. This is terrifying.
Well, also, too.
I have to go find myself.
Well, also, too, like, he's... Because what happened is the reason why they're at the Avengers match is because the Savage Land got messed up by Terminus.
Right.
And all the people died. And he's just trying to, like... They're trying to get back on their feet, but he's just...
Moping.
But he decided to be a dick.
Well, yeah.
He's going through his midlife crisis when he's like, I don't know, like 25. He's being a jungle dick. That's exactly what's happening.
So he's like, me need convertible.
Yeah. So she's like, he's like, I'm going to go find myself. And she's like, what the fuck, bro? Like, I'm pregnant. Like, you don't get to go find yourself.
Bro, you're going to leave me with this, with your saber-tooth. You're literally a saber-tooth tiger.
I'm jungle royalty, too. You don't see me running out.
Exactly. I don't get the opportunity to run away, bro. And so he's like, oh, she's a witch. And she's like, he actually says.
Did he call her a witch?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Definitely.
Blamed witch. She's like an anchor around my neck.
Yeah.
Kazar the henpecked.
How dare she?
You know what?
How dare she expect you to support the child.
If Kazar the Henpeck was a monthly, I probably would buy it.
Oh, I totally agree.
I think that would be a good book.
It would be the best book.
Kazar the Henpeck and Shayna the Land Witch.
So as he...
Even
like,
limited series, I would buy that.
Oh, yeah.
Six issues, give it to me.
Yeah.
So he like gets in a car and starts driving away. And as she sees this, of course, she's just like, wait, hold on. And she runs down the street, jumps in the car, and she's like, you know what? You go find yourself.
Yeah, you know what? I see. Really see your point now. Yeah, I've turned around on that. You deserting me as your wife and pregnant
your
mother of your child. No, I get it. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Chris, you wrote.
I don't need support.
Chris, you wrote a book on.
I did.
Being a father. Was this in there?
Was it chapter one?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I said I need to go find myself and drive away and put a shirt on
which he does.
Find the Mark Singer clothes outlet. Get yourself driving.
It's just like, come back when the kid is cool and like old enough to talk.
Yeah,
exactly.
just check it every couple of years. Is the kid cool yet?
And take care of my giant saber-toothed tiger while I'm away.
The end.
You don't mind, right?
Yeah.
So he starts driving across America, actually finds a shirt, mm-hmm. goes to a truck stop. With no shoes, by the way, because apparently right. he was able to find all the other clothes except for shoes.
He got the shoes and you went, meh.
And so he gets to this truck stop. People don't like him.
Automatically, though.
Automatically. They just start.
Because somebody sees him and he's like, hey, look, Tarzan walked in. It's like, what? Because he's not wearing shoes? Like, he just looks like a guy with.
No, he looks like Fabio.
Yeah. Without Fabio, shoes. Yeah. Fabio shoots.
My question was, because obviously.
Now, if one of the guys said, I can't believe it's not butter. And then I could see him wanting to punch him. Yeah.
But my question was, like, are we obviously in the issues before this, or even Kazar's book, is he as well known as some of the other, like, Avengers? Did they know they're staying at the Avengers mansion? Like, obviously, I don't know if he is an Avenger at this point.
I don't think so. No, he's never been an Avenger.
But, like, they know he's staying with the Avengers?
Well, I think it brings up a larger issue of that heroes, when they're on the road, shouldn't stop at diners.
That's right.
Every single time a hero stops at a diner in a comic book, something bad happens.
You are absolutely
go
correct.
To an Applebee's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Superman, Kazar, doesn't matter. Somebody's going to pick a fight with them.
No, do not support local business right? if you are a superhero.
Not only does he go to a diner, he goes to Trucker Heaven, which is where all the ghost truckers eat. You know, they're
Large Marge.
Yeah.
Your life, Large Marge. R.I.P. She was large.
So they get into a fight.
He gets into a fight with a guy who's just like. So he orders a coffee.
It gets porn on his head.
Here's what happens. So he orders a coffee, and he sits down. And he's like, "I've got my True Detective book because he's gonna read." He's like, "What?" Whatever.
This is helping me find myself.
Yeah, this is gonna help me find me. Which actually, it's a surprise. This might be something maybe I should consider if we
ever have a kid. But I would suggest maybe watching all the Forensic Files.
Oh yeah.
So that would probably be
How about
more
this?
Fun.
How about this? If we ever have a kid, uh-huh. I will go because we live near Pan's.
Yes, we do.
Pan's Diner.
Yes, down by LAX.
LAX. I will go there shoeless okay. and read a comic book and find myself.
All right. Well, you know, if you get in a fight with truckers, that's on you.
Watch out for those LA truckers.
Yeah, yeah that frequent
We
fans.
Don't care for podcast types around here.
Look at he thinks he's a Mark Maron over here. Coffee on his head. He's like, pow!
Maybe that's it. Maybe this is the diner where all the podcasters go to. You go and you get in a fight.
Podcast diner.
So it's full of radio people.
Howard Stern's in the corner.
Howard Stern would be making. Actually, yeah, because he's like, yeah, because Howard Stern hates podcasting, so he would just be like. look at this loser. Hey, Baba Booey.
So he gets coffee porn on his head, and then there's this trucker who he says to him, did I ruin your nice smelly clothes? Which apparently I don't know, he got them out of a trash bin.
No, that's musk. That's jungle musk. I know, that's not the clothes.
That's manliness.
That's all they knew right away. There's like obviously this guy's from the jungle. Let's harass him.
Right. Yes. So they get into a fight. And he, of course, throws a trucker over his head.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing. Yeah. He ruins the diner.
Mm-hmm.
He does apparently give the diner owner, I believe it looks like 2 nickels. he throws them.
Oh, he pays.
He does, right there.
I don't think I got that page.
This one?
Oh, yeah, I didn't get that page.
Oh, no.
Wait, did I miss that page?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is where they fight, but he looks like he pays them 2 nickels.
Oh, well, maybe it's Jungle Coin.
Oh,
it's worth more.
Did I miss the other next page too?
This one?
Because yeah, it went right from the one that you sent me went right from here the fighting to he met Iron Man after that.
Oh,
yeah, I think I missed two pages. Right, so but you know what? Let me put it this way: I wasn't lost. I kind of knew what happened.
Well, you didn't miss the part where
it went to there. I only missed one page.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good. Because I was like, you're gonna miss the crucial part where the girl wants to drive out with him.
Yeah.
That part I missed.
He wanders out, and as he gets in his convertible, there's already a woman there.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
And she was like, oh, it was so manly when you beat up all those men.
Yeah, it's a trucker diner.
Well, he's like, it would have been funny if he's like, it's pretty easy. They're all ghosts.
Yeah.
Trucker Heaven's pretty easy to beat up people. You
so
know?
She's like, take me with you. And he's like, no, and he leaves.
Like, all right, off to the next trucker. Let me get in somebody else's car now.
Someone will drive me away from this hellhole.
Another good miniseries, Trucker, Kazar, the trucker beater.
So I guess he just drives to Iron Man's house.
He goes to the West Coast Avengers comic.
Oh, is that where it is? Okay. So Kazar just pulls up. He's like, hey, how's it going? Like, let's hang out and sit outside on this lawn furniture and drink, like, tea together.
They drink seltzers together.
Which is what they do.
And Iron Man sits in his Iron Man clothes, and Kazar sits
in his... Yeah, he sits right. He doesn't take his suit off. No,
jungle seltzer.
Jungle seltzer. Let's have some jungle seltzers and have a chat. Because apparently he was expecting him. Kazar phoned ahead. He was like, hey, bro.
Yeah, which apparently we didn't see.
I'm having a midlife crisis. Can I come see you?
Right.
And he's like, oh, hey, how's your wife? And he's like, oh, she's fine. You know, we're having a baby. And Iron Man's like, he doesn't say like, oh, well, you should probably be that for her. He's be there for her. He's like, oh, you left her because she's so hot in this picture. You shouldn't have left the hot chick. We don't mind if she's pregnant.
Kazar, how do you know what a wallet is? And why do you have a picture?
Did you get a picture? Like, what?
And how did you get a wallet?
Like, yeah, exactly. They haven't been here that long. He can't even drive, but yet he has a wallet.
I have a question, too. So, does he, because Iron Man's like, you know, as Tony, he's like, man, I've let a lot of women go. You can't be doing that. Like, but does he, like, do they know he's Tony? Or does he just know him as Tony Stark's bodyguard or somebody that's in a container, a human person in a container that's just like, man.
Container.
Yeah, and like in a metal container just being like, well, women, don't let them go, you know, kind of. It's kind of weird.
Getting sage advice through a robot voice.
Yeah. How do you know? How does he not know? I mean, but Kazar, you know, he's got a wallet. He's got a shirt. So he guess he's on the move. He forgot his shoes, though.
Yeah.
So what's next?
So they're walking around the compound, and all of a sudden, all these devices start trying to, you know, grab them. They're like booby traps or whatever.
The defense systems of the compound.
Yes, they start up, and Iron Man's like, yeah, don't worry about it. They recognize me.
Well, it plays into later.
Yeah, it plays into later, but I mean, they really kind of do. And so they just wander around. He's like, hey, let me show you our library. And Kazar was like, I always heard they didn't have any books on the West Coast.
No.
joke about us in L.A. not having books. So
back to that New York-L.A. rivalry.
Was that a knock? I wasn't aware of this in the mid-80s. Was that a knock or something that like L.A., New York would be like, hey, you guys have got books. Screw you. You know, was that like a thing?
Yeah, it's always looked at as like. New York's
where the intellectuals
serious
are
literary.
Serious, yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
And L.A. is like where the surfers and the beach dudes go.
Yeah, clearly. We're all shallow and dumb, and we don't read shit.
There's just big movies out there, dumb people.
Yeah.
Dumb movies.
Yeah, it's actually dumb movie. Millionaires.
So many millionaires. So they're like looking at the books. They're like, yeah, it's nice, isn't it great? And then there's this Jericho tube.
So it's something whatever... Whatever the fixer.
The equivalent of a boom tube, but they can't say boom tube in Marvel Universe.
Is that what it is?
He uses that to travel to the place? Or does he just use it to blow open the wall?
I thought he was screaming through it.
He is.
Oh, he's screaming through a Jericho tube?
Yeah. Okay.
He's screaming through a tube to blow open the hole.
Oh, that's different then. Yeah. Okay.
In comes the fixer.
Yeah.
And the fixer's like, I'm going to fix you. Or he has like a big speech about stuff.
Yes,
I'm like,
he says, good day, gentlemen. I am the fixer.
Which also, I have to say, pretty impressive for doing that while he's jumping.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
I do like a polite villain, I have to say, when they introduce themselves.
And he is so very nice. Mm-hmm. He says, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. So, of course, him and Iron Man start getting into it, but he disables his suit.
With some gum.
Yeah, basically with chewing gum. So Kazar, of course, grabs the fireplace poker, tries to stop him, doesn't work.
Well, actually, Kazar has a great thing. He's like, you want to play cards? Let's play poker. And he starts chasing him.
That's right, he has one of those puns.
Yeah.
One of those great puns.
You want to play Go Fish? Here's a fish.
Kazar's still not wearing shoes.
Nope.
Tony didn't give him flip-flops, nothing.
He should have shot out the glass and went full Die Hard.
So, of course, now he has Kazar, and he's like... hold on. So Tony has neutralized the gum here.
Eventually.
So he's neutralized it, and he's going to attack him, but he's holding Kazar, and... Fixer's like, hey, I have like a pink spider that I'm going to stick onto Kazar's spine and ruin his only shirt.
And it's a paralyzing spider.
It's a paralyzing spider.
I have a pink techno spider.
It's a pink techno spider.
It's going to ruin his shirt.
And
it won't match.
Yeah. And it ruins his clothes. And if you don't want him to die, you need to give me your armor. And Tony Stark actually has to think about this.
So I have a question. So when the before we get to this part, next part, but so did he like come to the compound in hopes of just finding Tony, but it just happened, or finding Iron Man and getting the suit from him? But did he decide that, well, it just happens that Kazar's here, and I'm going to use him as collateral here?
I think he always has a fair amount of paralyzed spiders with him, just mm-hmm. for just case, you know, just these such emergencies.
Yeah, it's like Batman's utility belt, where he has shark repellent. Well,
he's got this giant like techno vest, you know. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
this is he's got pouches before there were pouches, basically.
Right. They're not really pouches. They're like,
well, this is a
compartments.
Yeah, they're compartments. Yeah. They will become pouches in the 90s, but right now these are baby pouches. So Iron Man thinks about it. And then he's like, oh, shit. Well, I guess I should save this guy's life. So Iron Man, we have a whole page of Iron Man taking off his armor.
For the ladies.
Definitely. It is so very sexy.
Here's the thing that I found fascinating is that, so like, you know how Iron Man's got like the red boots and the gloves mm-hmm. and all the stuff in between, like on his arms and his legs, and it's all silver. But apparently that's just retractable.
Yeah.
Because all that stuff just goes into the gloves, into the boots,
mm-hmm.
and he starts taking it off.
He takes all of it off, and here's the weird part: he is not wearing anything underneath it.
Yeah, that's insane. Like, well, you expect to see, like, well, there's going to be at
like
least
a
like a or a like a
thermal underwear
or a swimsuit, like kind of yeah. like a scuba suit, like some kind of rubber
yes.
conducting thing that protects his skin, but also something.
Nope,
nothing.
No, nothing. And here's okay. So two theories. I have a theory though.
All right.
So, okay, so here's this panel mm-hmm. of, as he's disrobing his thing, Fixer is just in the background, and there's nothing.
There's no word bubble, but it looks like he's, like, laughing.
He's just standing there laughing his ass off, like,
with right? his head cocked back.
I made an Avengers take his clothes off.
Now strip.
So
maybe he laughs with no noise.
And it's funny because my theory is that this is like a Lego game. Because when you leave the guys to idle, they do like something, like, you know, like Wolverine's go, ah, you know, with his quote.
Well, I was right, like Beast, like reads a book.
Well, my favorite is Beast. He just sits there, you just leave Beast sitting there. He just reads a book, or he does some science and stuff. Like, it's really adorable.
My favorite is when he reads a book upside down.
Yes. Which is the one that has the teddy bear?
Oh, that's an Abomination.
Yeah, and he just like hugs it.
Abomination just hugs a teddy bear. But,
Think of a safe place. Think of a safe place.
So, but I imagine Fixer is just, this is like a Lego universe Marvel thing. And Fixer is just being idle, so he's just going, ha, 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 doing his thing. So he's not really laughing about the situation. Just, that's just what he has to do. Because
he's not doing anything else.
He's not doing anything
right.
else.
And he has to be in the panel.
Yeah. and so it's funny. But it's also funny because in the Lego universe, but I think they read this and said, well, when we, because there's a stage in the Lego Marvel game where Tony loses his armor because Magneto rips it off of him, mm-hmm. except for the helmet. And Tony is actually wearing a t-shirt and
underwear.
Underwear. Mm-hmm. He's wearing like boxers with hearts mm-hmm. on them. And in this case, but in
so
this
even
case,
Lego could get it right.
Right.
Lego could get it right. But in 1985, Tony is straight up not wearing any shirts.
Not wearing anything. So what happens is
maybe that's why Rhodes didn't want to wear the armor anymore.
He was like, I'm
like, you know what? Keep it. Never mind. Like,
so tired of this rule where I have to get naked before I get in this stuff. Tony's like, no, you do.
It is not comfortable. It can't be comfortable.
That's why I'm like, but are you covered in baby powder? Like, how does this even work? So we finally get to the end, and he's thrown all of the parts of his suit at the like at the feet of the Fixer, save his helmet and his underwear. But they are metal underwear, so they're still the suit.
It's a cod piece and a helmet.
Cod piece. Which, that's just not, it's a weird panel. Like, it's a really weird panel.
I wonder what the editorial decision on that was. Like, when they're discussing, well, what do we show? What do we keep on them? Right?
Like, should we even be doing this? And they're like, and it's like, should we do this? Like, I mean, we're doing it. Yeah. We just got to keep.
MC, metal cod piece.
So, as this, just the Fixer's like, no, dude, I want it all. I want everything.
Seriously, dude. I didn't come here for half a suit of armor.
No, give me the underwear or give me the helmet.
What are we going to do, walk around with no underwear and no helmet?
I mean, I'm going to wash it first, but I still need it.
This is getting disinfected. Putting it in the autoclave.
Dip it in some OxyClean. Make sure that's not shiny.
So Kazar and Tony Stark, they meet eyes, and then they understand that, like, this is it. They have to make the move. And he somehow, like, starts the force field of the suit, so it, like, throws the fixer backwards.
Tony activates it in his helmet.
He activates it, and it throws him back.
Wirelessly.
Yes. And he's like, I've never done this.
Science. 1985. Wireless science.
And it also knocks Kazar back enough that the pink spider, like, flies off of him, so he's no longer immobilized. Mm-hmm. So Kazar, like, grabs Tony's boots and, like, hits the fixer in the face with them, and then they run away out of the mansion. Oh, no, he grabs a boot and a glove.
Yes.
Hits fixer in the face. They run out of the mansion. Tony Stark puts on his glove and his boot, and he tries to fly away.
He manages to work a little bit.
So then the fixer, of course, follows them.
So this is like a little Lego thing where you've got, now you have a helmet, a codpiece, a glove, and a boot.
This actually should be a Lego thing. I haven't played Lego Marvel, the new Avengers one yet, but I wonder if this is in there. I would just do a downloadable level just based on this entire book right now. And it would be so much fun. But so anyway, so thankfully, Kaze, you know, so as they're doing away and, like,
they fight,
they, you know, they're fighting. Fixer's, like, you know, able to get a beat on them, and it just happens that you know, Tony's about to get shot, and you know, by Fixer, and thankfully Kazar has found one of the cords to the defense system gun.
The defense tree.
Yeah.
Defense tree. Yes, defense.
It's literally the only tree on the ground.
Yeah, what could this be possibly be used for?
So he manages to do a Tarzan swing into the fixer and becomes straight up savage and starts throws off his pouch vest.
Yep, and hits him with it, actually. Oh, whacks him in the face with it.
In the face.
Yeah, and punches him, and Fixer's like, no, don't hurt me. And he's like, I'm Kazar the Savage, ha ha ha, or whatever.
Yeah, so I'm probably going to hit you.
Yeah, I'm absolutely going to hit you. So they tie him up with the security cable. Tony's like, I'm so glad that I'm alive. And they, like, walk back into the library. Poor Tony, only wearing, again, a boot, a glove, a codpiece, and a helmet, until he can get dressed again. And then there's this, they're like, oh, hey, this is a piece of tech.
Wait, what?
And this is what happens. So they, like, go into the library. Tony gets back dressed and gets dressed again. He's like, boy, that fight sure did a number on your library. And Tony's like, yeah, you look sad, man. What's going on? Let's have a conversation.
Let's have some broing out time, guys. Yeah.
And he's like, Kazar finds a piece of tech and he goes, oh, this piece of one of the fixers' high-tech doohickeys. And then he trails off and he's like, made me start thinking of a place that was run by a whole network of machinery like this. A place called Pangea. It's history now. And all the people I knew there are dead. So he's all sad. Like, he's getting all upset.
Doesn't he call it, like, a theme park or something?
I don't know exactly.
Later, like, he mentions this being a theme park. And
maybe. I'm trying to remember exactly what happened here. So he, like, gives the tech back to him, and then he calls his wife. Right?
Yes.
To be like, hey, I found myself. Isn't that awesome? I'm coming home.
I found out that the West Coast sucks.
Yeah. I'm out. Fuck LA.
Yeah, good for you. All it took was, you know, punching a techno villain a few times, and I realized, oh, maybe I should be a husband and a father.
Yeah, I should go actually, you know, meet my responsibilities.
It'd be funny, if, it'd be funny if there was, like, a conversation, he's like, yeah, double. All right, yeah, I'll bring it back.
It's gonna be 4 days old. Is that okay?
4 days, but
Neapolitan shake.
We lived in the jungle. It doesn't.
This is what happened. So Tony's like, "Are you sure you're not gonna stay? Because you haven't even gone to Disneyland." And he's like, "No, I just want to go." And so he drives away.
I would love if Tony went to Disneyland just wearing the one boot and love. Kids, Spider-Man is here.
Like, oh, Pirates of the Caribbean. Oh, this is a question I have for you guys.
Yes.
Has there ever been a panel or a story where the heroes have gone to Disneyland?
Have gone? Ooh.
Like somewhere, like the Avengers in It's a Small World or something. Has that ever happened?
You know, I...
Maybe.
I'm going to say it has to have... I feel like at some point mm-hmm. it had to have happened.
Right.
Because I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
I have yet to read all the West Coast Avengers.
Right.
If
it was going to be anywhere, it would be in there.
It could happen there. Or it could happen, you know, maybe like...
Were there West Coast X-Men at some point?
I don't think so, but there's definitely a lot of West Coast heroes. Wonder Man.
Right.
Very West Coast.
Yes.
You know, Todd's there's also hero. Spider-Woman, mm-hmm. you know, West Coast based. Yep. So, yeah, I'll have to see. Well, that's actually a very good question, and I will... here's what I'll do. I'll
turn it over to the listeners.
Let us know.
Well, if you know, or I will turn it over, I will figure this out myself, and then I will start a Tumblr. of comic book heroes going to Disneyland.
And their favorite rides.
And their favorite rides. Because that's my goal is I always think of like these random tumblers.
Yep. Oh yeah, we have like six.
Superman would be Space Mountain.
Yeah.
No, going home.
Oh, if only I would go be sad.
Space Mountain is probably the funnest thing I've ever.
That's the best ride in Disneyland. I have to say, I love Space Mountain.
It is great.
It's such a good one.
I haven't been to Disneyland. I've only been to Disneyland twice. You've been once with me. And I want to go back because now I heard that there's also a colony of feral cats
mm-hmm.
that live in Disneyland. Cats.
No, they've been there for a very long time.
Yes.
But yeah. We just heard about this.
But I was wondering where they were there.
Yes,
there's an Instagram dedicated to this.
And it's it also helps with the rat problem.
Yes, because they like to eat all the food.
I just want to go and ride Space Mountain and look at the cats and maybe see Iron Man with one boot and one glove.
Now,
I
hope so. Graham actually went recently and he said they changed it to Hyperspace Mountain. So when you go on Space Mountain, it's all like TIE fighters and stuff flying at you too.
You know what? I don't know if I like that.
Yeah,
I don't think
we did go on, but this is before we went on the Star Wars ride that was there. I'm sure there's a better one now. And we waited in line, I swear to God, for like 90 minutes.
Oh yeah, no, they're building a whole Star Wars land, yeah. But that's not open yet. But I will say, you know, Cars. I wasn't a big fan of the movies at all, but the land that they built and the ride they're amazing.
The one in California Adventure?
The one in California Adventure.
See, I've never been to California Adventure. I heard Chris Hardwick screaming about it the other day, how great it was, but...
It's better than it was when it started, for sure. Because they've actually added things that people want to go and see and do.
All right.
There's that. But yeah, the car, they did an amazing job with that. I have to give them the credit. Mm.
So Disneyland, go there.
Yeah.
Guys. We do recommend it. I want to go again.
Anyway, so
that's Iron Man.
Yeah, that's how the book ends.
That's Iron Man.
There's a very important lesson that Iron Man learns at the end, and this goes to like a relatable thing where he realizes that Iron Man and the Fixer were both technological villains, and they both relied on technology to fight and get the job done, whereas Iron Man realizes that Kazar was literally fighting with his fists and without a shirt.
And no superpowers. And
no shoes.
Yeah, no shoes. And managed to win and knock out the Fixer. So Iron Man starts to realize that maybe I'm too dependent on technology and I need to regain some of my humanity. Yes. I think the underlying themes there were very interesting. it gets back to the point that as ridiculous as him taking off the armor and suits are, you know, even comic books, even way back in the day, had really interesting and forward-thinking themes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. just something that you can think about afterwards because it's not just a bunch of random bullshit going on.
Right.
Like, there's actually mm-hmm. like a theme here and something that, you know, kind of plays into the development of the characters and everything. Mm-hmm. So,
although I did miss Luke Cage dressed as a woman in a harem.
What do you think the underlying theme of that
was? Like, I like Three Stooges episodes.
Do you think that will show up in Luke Cage's Netflix series?
Oh, that would be great if it did.
He just shows up like he's got to go to like a fashion show.
Right. You're going to have to wear this tiara.
That would be awesome.
Yes. But that's Iron Man number 202 from mm-hmm. January 1986. So we ask this question each time. Would you read the next issue of this book? I'll let you go first, Chris.
Yes, I would, because I want to see if Kazar gets back to his wife and unborn child.
If he actually does.
If he stops on any truckers stops
right,
on the
if he gets, yeah. yeah. See I if mean, he gets just, in any more fights.
It might be just 4 days of trucker fights just going across the country.
And that girl is still waiting like, you came back.
Yay, take me out of this hellhole.
I would... If Marvel just put out another miniseries that said 4 days of Trucker Fight,
I would buy every issue.
And just like
all the merchandise.
Because that would be great. You know, that's a trade paperback, just like Trucker Fights in the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
Just like anytime. It's just a bunch of, it's right. Like, you know, it could be like 100 pages.
It had to be part of like Damage Control.
Yes.
When that series came out.
Yes. Jen, would you read this book?
You know, I would, actually. This book is right in my sweet spot where I love these like late 70s, early 80s books.
Yes.
So yeah, I would absolutely read the next one.
I totally would. I feel like if I was really ambitious, I would just try to collect nothing but Iron Man books. And, you know, I start small. I just collect the short series.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, yes, I did it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Iron Man's been around forever. But,
yes.
You know, so yeah. I might not do that. But I like Iron Man, so yes.
Is it getting harder to find, like, the original print copies of some of these books, like, now that everything's kind of going digital and people aren't collecting them as much anymore?
It is and it isn't. I mean, mm-hmm. for stuff that I'm looking for.
Right.
Because...
Which is the worst.
They're already in bins.
Oh, yeah.
They're already all in bins. But the thing is that there was a lot of them, you know, a lot of stuff that I'm trying to find, you know, there wasn't, you know, some of the stuff, especially when you get towards like the end of runs of certain issues.
Right.
You know, you don't really find a lot of those issues out there because it's just, you know, they just didn't make a lot of them because people weren't buying them because that's how the comic book thing works.
Right.
Because, you know, they send copies out and print copies based on demand.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, I have a hard time finding some of these.
God, I remember too, like, you know, I would collect them a lot of times too, the original issues, because I wanted to read them, not because I wanted to, you know, to go up in value. Like, I remember trying to get the old Frank Miller Daredevils when I was really getting into those. Yeah. And I remember them just being so expensive. Like every issue. I'm like, I just want to read them. Why isn't this coming out? And
that's
trade paperbacks.
Right.
And
stuff.
That's the thing. That's what I just basically leave it to trades, you know, for those sort of things, for stuff that like, I really just want to read. And if it's collected, great. Like for instance, like with a lot of like of my Avengers West Coast collection, or West Coast, whatever. Yeah. They have two names. you know, there's a lot of stuff that's collected now, you know, like the later issues of it. And I was like, well, that's good because I don't want to have, because there's also space, you know.
Right.
You know, I don't have the space. So if I can, if I can collect it in a trade or on digital, like through Comixology or something like that, even better. So, but for stuff like this, like, you know, if it's not everything is digitized. So you just got to hunt it down. And nobody's collecting, you know, this, some of this shit that I'm reading. Like, nobody's collecting Wonder Man. I'm just using an example, but it's a very good example. Nobody's going out of the way to do that unless if, like, there's a Galactic Storm issue that was digitized because one, but whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's – okay, well, that's it for Iron Man, and we'll be back with Chris for our next book.
Hi, I'm Quen.
And I'm Dev.
And together we make
Mouth Time,
a podcast by Reductress.
You know us from amazing articles such as How to Be a Lady in the Streets and A Haunted Clock Tower in the Sheets.
And Childless Women. Are they safe?
We are the only podcast made by women that women are allowed to listen to.
Yeah, no one's telling you can't.
We love covering things that you love hearing about, like drugs, snakes, and punching yourself in the mouth till you pass out. You know, lady stuff.
You know, shopping, horses, hair ties, lady stuff. We have new episodes every Wednesday.
Find us on iTunes, SideshowNetwork.tv, and anywhere else you can find podcasts, including The Mouth of a Snake that you don't know if it's a dream or real or a ghost.
Honestly, check it out. There might be a podcast in there.
There might be.
Bye.
All right, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever here on Sideshow Network with our esteemed guest, Chris Mancini. Please support his Kickstarter.
Yes, please. I know this isn't even live, but I'm like checking the counter right now.
For Long Ago and Far Away?
Yes, Long Ago and Far Away on Kickstarter.
Yes, please check it out and please support it. It's wonderful and you guys will not be disappointed. Real quick, I just want to talk real quick about Comedy Film Nerds and the LA Podcast Festival. Because you are, of course, that's how I've met you. I've known Chris for...
Yeah, many years.
Wow, yeah. I think I've known you for... did I start interning for them?
The first year we moved here. I had to drop you off for an interview at somebody's house in the valley.
that sounds familiar.
yes, that's right. And I've known you for 5 years at this point, I think. And it's... I used to intern for Comedy Film Nerds. And Comedy Film Nerds is a podcast for maybe... Real quick, I think we touched upon it a little bit last time, but go ahead and tell the uninitiated haven't heard about it.
Yes, Comedy Film Nerds is a movie review podcast where we, Graham and I, are also filmmakers and comedians, and we talk about the current release movies, DVDs, and we have a guest every week who's someone either is a comedian, a filmmaker, an actor, or a director, somebody with an interesting perspective on the movies. And we try to make it both informative and funny, so it's a useful reviews, and also it makes you laugh at the same time. So we have a we also have written reviews on the site, a store, and we kind of have like a nice brand. And we're releasing Earbuds, the podcasting documentary, mm-hmm. this year that Sean is in. Mm-hmm. Actually, Jen, I think you're in it as well in a couple shots.
I believe I am.
Yes, your cat is in it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Your cat didn't get cut out.
Yes.
Yay. Yeah, we're getting him an agent now.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're really excited about that. And then the podcast festival is this year, September 23rd to the 25th. And this is going to be the biggest year yet. It's at the Sofitel. You can get tickets at lapodfest.com. Right. And we've already signed on some really big names. Welcome to Night Vale's coming back.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Criminal is going to be there. And Stuff You Should Know and Rooster Teeth Podcast and Dude Soup.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, these are very diverse shows too.
Yes, and then we'll also have some of the favorites coming back. Of course, Jimmy Pardo, Todd mm-hmm. Glass, Alison Rosen, and a bunch
Alison
of
Rosen
others
has,
too.
Oh, really? She hasn't been back in a while, actually.
About 2 years. Yeah, we haven't
she
had her back.
She was at the first one, and she hasn't been.
She was at the second one too. Yeah, I don't think we had her 3-4. It was one of those, and then now, yeah, she'll be back for 5.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So cool.
And hopefully next year, we're working out these details, but hopefully there will maybe be another preview night like we did last
year.
Yes,
the improv. In fact, we've been talking to Jamie, too, about having the improv take over the podcasting lab for all the new podcasters, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we're talking to the improv and you guys about that, too. I think it's a really good match.
Yeah, no, it's a great mm-hmm. match, and we're excited for it. And it's like my Super Bowl every year.
Yeah, literally, for us too, for sure.
Because it's like oh man, okay, this is where I get to go and see everybody, and we hang out, and it's just it's a lot of fun. And if you guys are able to check it out, lapodfest.com.
Yes, mm-hmm. a lot of fun, but also a lot of work to put on.
Oh, I just can imagine. So I have a question. Actually, you mentioned I have a few things to call out. Maybe just call out, but I can't help it. So I was, I guess, a Comedy Film Nerds,
mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, my name is still spelled wrong. My name. You spelled my last name wrong.
In the movie or in the...
In the description and in the title of the show that's on iTunes.
Oh, you mean the pod, not in the movie.
What's it spelled?
M-E-R-E-K.
Oh, yeah, that's wrong.
There's an A in there.
Yeah, okay. I'll tell Graham. He's in charge of spelling.
Here's the thing, if I do a search for my name in iTunes, it doesn't come up.
Well, that makes it kind of more special then. People have to do all the different spellings of your name
exactly
to actually find you.
It's a surprise.
Well, I want to ask, so you say filmmakers, where did I land in?
You're a
there?
podcast guy.
Guests with interesting perspectives.
Oh, okay.
And podcasters.
Ta-da.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was just curious. I have made movies.
You did.
You've been in production.
I have a short film actually.
Yes. About mm-hmm. wrestling.
About wrestling that I did many years ago. Mm-hmm. Actually features, WWF wrestlers.
Yes, mm-hmm. it does.
And it features a guy that's currently in NXT. Mm-hmm. So I am mm-hmm. covering the spectrum there. So you guys did a film of something very dear to us, the mm-hmm. Batman v Superman spoiler.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we did indeed.
Oh, yes. So I listened to it.
I'm glad that you guys got it out when you did
mm-hmm.
because I think I'm all think pieced out about Batman v Superman.
I couldn't agree more. I can't talk about it anymore.
I don't know what else there is to be said.
We did a regular episode of Spoiler App. There is articles about it on the site, mm-hmm. and we're done. It's time to move on.
It's time to move on
and heal.
Yes, a lot of healing. Because Jen pointed this out to me today, and I have to take Graham to task because he thought that Themyscira was a it's space because he thought Wonder Woman wasn't.
He thought Wonder Woman was an alien. I had to set him straight right away.
Yes. I was like, yeah, you better make sure you do that because people are not going to be happy.
No. The Twitter would explode.
Graham would be on the roof with a sword, getting rid of all the haters.
Yeah.
It was good. It was a good episode.
That's why you should check out Comedy Film Nerds because they do spoiler eps.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it says right in the title, spoiler ep.
Yeah,
there is a.
You'll know.
you will absolutely know special like alarms going off in the beginning. So,
literally,
but no, it's fantastic.
Yes,
like,
there are
literal alarms.
If you do not know what you're getting into, but you should definitely listen to it.
Yeah, you can't listen to it by mistake.
Yes.
But you should absolutely check out Comedy Film Nerds. It's fun. It's funny, and always very illuminating.
Yes. Very diverse guests. Good. Very just. It's actually one of the. I don't always tell people this. I'm gonna be very honest here. It's like I always tell people, it's like, you know, if you want to listen to like a good podcast about what podcasting is all about, you know, and just not like you're talking about like public radio or stuff like that, Comedy Film Nerds is like the example of that, because
you, thanks, Sean,
and Graham who are passionate about what you do. Mm-hmm. And you know, but you're also skilled enough to be, you know, you're comedians and you're filmmakers, and you also know what kind of what your audience likes, you know what your guests are all about, you know, like you bring, that's one thing I've always told people. It's like, you guys, it's not just like, oh, we're going to bring in a bunch of funny comedian people and talk about movies. Like, you also get filmmakers, you get people
right.
that have some sort mm-hmm. of, again, interesting perspective on mm-hmm. the shows.
Yes.
Or on the movies and what they watch. And you give them homework. You
do. We totally do.
This is the thing. It's like, I have gone on my way to, you know, get people on the show as yes. a part of Sideshow Network and tell people, hey, you should do the show. It's like,
yeah.
and I go, but you have to go see a movie.
Right.
And sometimes I'll get people, I'll be honest, I get people that push back and be like, well, what do I got to do here? It's like, just go see a movie. Yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
Go see. That's fun. Go.
You don't have to deliver a report. You know, you just see a movie.
Go see a movie.
Just go watch a movie.
I think one of my favorites was, I think one of my first episodes I worked with you guys on was with Todd Glass. And I remember just hearing the story about how, because Todd Glass is Todd, you know, if you don't know
Todd's
Glass,
Todd.
Yeah. Todd's Todd. And he's like, I had to go to the Grove and I had to do this. Yeah. And this was happening. Yeah. It's like.
He was calling Graham to get the movie times for him. like what Graham's like, what do you just go to a movie? What are you doing?
He didn't want to mess it up.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of community. It's a great community. Yeah. It's everything like that. So please, for all the folks that are checking us out, please check, you know, please embrace Comedy Film Nerds. You would not be disappointed.
Absolutely.
So let's get into it. Let's get into our book for second like book here. It is Valor.
Yes.
I want to say Valor.
I want to say Valor.
Valor. Valor.
I also wanted to call him Namor, but I know that is incorrect.
Namor.
He swims through space. That's all.
So, Valor, number one.
Right. Now, as we start, I this was my favorite part of the book, was the beginning. Mm. What does it say on the cover there?
First explosive issue.
Now, turn the page. What's the name of the issue?
Endgame. I just got it.
I didn't even notice that. That is amazing.
I often overlook the titles, but that is great.
They're just saying this is it, guys. Here's the only book I got.
But here's the actually the, I think the reason because Valor number one comes hot off the heels off of the DC crossover for that mm-hmm. summer, the Eclipso Darkness Within crossover, which. For fans of the show, people listen to the show, I am a huge Eclipso mark. Mm-hmm. I love Eclipso. I actually own all of those issues of that run. I bought all 17 issues or 18 issues, and I am proud to say that I own all of those. Mm-hmm. Eclipso, because Eclipso is awesome. And Valor played a part of that series about that. You get to hear about this and hear and everything. And so it's the aftermath. So I think Endgame refers to kind of like, well, this is the end game of Valor and the Darkness Within, and then stuff happens with that. You know, mm-hmm. hopefully we're phasing him out, and because they're trying to just kind of do like a phase in instead of just doing like a clean thing, you know, clean story, clean break, or whatever. But mm-hmm. they're phasing it in, because as we can see, first page you open up and it says Endgame, and Valor is being ripped apart by a number of Eclipsos.
Yes.
Right.
And he kind of actually looks like this is... So, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Death Spa, which is a horror movie. There is a moment in Death Spa where this guy gets killed by a... What, bicep machine? What is this?
He's doing a pec deck.
Yeah, so he's doing one of those, and it, like, breaks, and, like, all of his ribs shoot out of his thing.
Oh, my God.
It's the most ridiculous movie I recommend.
Well, just give you too much credit. It's
terrible.
He breaks his body and, like...
And that's
tomato
what this
soup
looks like.
Comes out.
Yeah, right. And that's kind of what this looks like right here.
I do like the one Calypso is pulling out his hair.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No,
all the other ones are breaking his joints, and one of them is pulling out his hair.
He's having a bad day.
Yes, he is.
So that's how that begins.
So real quick, Valor, basically, so if you're not familiar with Valor, Valor is like Superboy Light.
Okay.
You can't. So okay. Actually, that's a question we don't have a chance to ask. Is like, what's kind of like your relationship? Do you have any relationship with Valor?
I do not.
Okay.
No, I was intrigued by the book because I was not familiar with the character.
So Valor is basically he's comes from a planet Daxam, and he's basically like Superboy Light. He kind of replaced Superboy in like the Legion of Superheroes after Superboy became erased, and Valor was basically he's known as his real name is Mon-El. Mon-El.
What's the relation between Krypton and
right?
It's and basically there? Well. Here's the thing. So he comes to the planet Daxam, where he is impervious to kryptonite, but he is lead will kill him.
Oh, okay.
So and are they like sister planets?
Something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And he has basically all the same powers of Superboy and Superman. He's got super breath. He's super strong.
Right.
You know. Mm-hmm. The only difference is that he's got big cape clasps, but he's got short sleeves. He's pulling the Sipowicz for the Andy Sipowicz. Mm-hmm. Instead of wearing a short shirt, short sleeve shirt and tie, he's a short sleeve shirt and cape.
Yes.
Yep.
So
more casual superhero.
It's a very casual thing, and it's actually he has to find he finds a way to store his cape later, which is
we got to talk about that.
Oh, okay. So anyway, so this is what we're seeing in this first page is actually just. Just a dream or a vision he's having.
Right. On the splash page.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then so we open it up. And since he went through that whole thing with Calypso, he's kind of screwed up. I would say he has he's just screwed up right now. He's messed up. So he's in therapy, talking to a therapist who is showing him ink blots.
Yes.
I like that the fact that this is the first issue of his book.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing you're treated to is your superhero in therapy.
Is psychologically damaged.
Yes. So he's messed up and she's showing him ink blots and he's like, I guess it looks like a butterfly. And she doesn't really believe him.
Right.
So she shows him another thing and it kind of reminds him of the moon base that he saw when he was on the moon with all the Calypsos and that sort of thing. So we get a little bit of how he was taken over by Calypso and Superman had to kick his ass. So he's no longer Calypso. So that's basically how that happened.
Yeah. And we kind of get like a recap of the end of the Calypso thing where basically Bruce Gordon set off like this big sun bomb to kill Calypso in his palace and he managed to save him. But, Calypso really messed up his mind and stuff. And, look, an Ugly Kid Joe ad.
I saw that. I was like, holy shit, I haven't thought about that.
That's actually, there's some good jams out there.
Yeah. Whatever happened to,
Whatever happened to that?
Are they still touring?
Probably. State fairs and stuff.
As a metal guy, the singer Whitfield Crane went on to record a song with Ice-T and Lemmy for the Airhead soundtrack.
Really?
Shit.
It was back in 1994, so it wasn't that far after this. He went on to do a bunch of other bands, like another band called Medication in the early 2000s, stuff like that. So he,
maybe he has another band now.
Maybe he is busy. Active in the LA scene. I don't know.
It's possible. So she's like showing him all these ink blots. And he's telling her, they look like, flower or whatever. And she gets pissed.
Right. Well, I'm just going to walk out. You're not going to be serious.
She throws the ink blots on the floor.
How dare you, patient?
This is the best therapist.
Yes. Now let me humiliate you by walking out.
And so he picks one up and he says, father. And she's like, what was that? And he was like, it kind of reminds me of my dad.
It reminds me of a chess piece.
Yeah.
To me, it looked like what you call zigzags or like.
Oh, those Italian cookies that are shaped like an S.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
He's like, hey,
Italian Salerno. Wedding cookies.
Yeah. The ones that, what's that brand? You can buy them.
Salerno.
Is that the brand?
Salerno.
You can buy them in the store and they're in that package. And my grandmother loved these freaking cookies. My grandmother couldn't speak English, so she would always say zigzag because they were like an S. So you're right, it does look like that.
I actually kind of want some Salerno cookies right now.
Oh, I might have to buy some. So he's like, it reminds me of this kind of like chess that we used to play, and then like my dad and I were playing this game,
His dad comes home to play chess. He's like, I'm going to win. And he's like, later, son.
Yeah.
I know. That made no sense to me.
It doesn't. And what else is weird about this is that...
Why would you be threatened by your son beating you at chess?
Well, that's what I don't get, because he's like, my dad never came home very much. When he did, we'd play this game. He always beat me. Then finally, like, I practiced, and I got to the point where I was going to beat him. And then the minute I was going to beat him, he was like, I got to go. And you can see him, looking at his watch. And he leaves.
We get into space watch.
Space watch. And he leaves in his spaceship.
Look at space time.
And he never sees his dad again.
And that's it.
And
space clock, son. I got to leave.
And it's so weird that, for me, that Valor still believes that the reason that his dad left is because he almost lost at chess. Like, there's no way that is the actual reason. But he literally believes this.
Yeah, he does.
Still, to this day, he's like, it's because...
You should have been proud of me, Dad. Yeah, I was playing chess well.
He's like, if you come back, I'll lose. Yeah. And I could see how a child would think that. Mm-hmm. But
as an adult, you might think maybe there was something else
going
on.
Exactly. As an adult, you should probably think, oh, wait, that was probably not the reason.
What page is this?
This one, 8.
Okay, so 8 pages in, brand new series, first book. He's already... being ripped apart on his first page. Uh-huh. He's in therapy, mm-hmm.
And
his dad leaves him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a country song.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dax of my country song.
So he was. I think he says something like, "Oh, we can't really show emotion on my planet."
Yeah.
And he was like, "Bluffing is everything in Paragon." That was the game. And he's like, my father taught me to hide my emotions. And his therapist is like, well, you know, this is kind of like a real life. It's not really a game. And he's like, whatever. And so he leaves. And then we find out that the therapist is working for Alexander Luthor.
Alexander Luthor, not Lex Luthor.
No. This is when he had, like, there's a beard and there's red hair.
Alexander Luthor is the father, right?
Well, in this one, I think he's the son? I don't know.
Remember.
I think he's...
We don't do research.
He's a Lex Luthor from a different time.
Could be another Earth,
parallel.
Yeah,
multiverse
like
Earth.
Yeah, it's one of those.
But this isn't the multiverse. This is the...
Yeah, but I think didn't he come over or something?
He came over
because there's
something.
Like a thing with him and Supergirl, and they end up in like Legion together in a couple of different books and whatever.
Yeah, there's like a Luthor Supergirl.
So this is
book.
An alternate Luthor for one reason or another.
Right. He's the Luthor of the 90s.
Right.
Yeah, and he's got hair.
He's got the power. He's got the power ponytail.
Yes. He's got a lot of hair.
Tons. Yeah,
so much.
And a beard. Rocking the beard before it was popular.
It's a very hipster look. He's hipster Luthor.
Yeah. And so Luthor's thinking, he's like, oh my God, the ink blots were specifically designed to make him flashback to Eclipso. But Luthor's like, wow, he actually responded to like the genuine ink blot. I have to go back to figure out exactly why they want him to do this. There is a reason.
Because they want
They're trying to pierce his defenses. I don't know why.
Maybe they want him to fight Superman.
I don't remember why.
Or they want the Eclipsos to control him again or something?
Yeah, I think that might be why. It doesn't really explain why
alternate Luthor wanted to do this.
Yeah, because I was like, I read this morning and I still don't remember exactly why. So he's like, hey, here's the ship, whatever. And then we go back to Namor and he's like in his house.
He looks very Ben Affleck there in those pictures.
Kind of. And so he has the ink blot that kind of looks like the Lunar City.
He looks older when he goes back to his house.
Yeah, he does. And then we have this weird thing where he's like thinking about it. He's like, God, what does this ink blot look like to me? And then like Eclipso's face is like lined over his and it says like Lunar City in his head. Or he says it out loud, I guess.
And then he vomits.
Oh, and then he vomits. That's right. He's like, Eclipso is still in me. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw him up out.
Yeah.
Bulimia.
All right, so then he flies off, and he's like, I have to go find the Lunar City. So he, like, flies away, and he ends up...
Well, he's also getting tracked by Luthor.
Yeah, he's getting tracked by Luthor, but he ends up basically what looks like Stonehenge, but it's in the South American jungle.
But it's called Lunar City.
Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's in the South American jungle.
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
And he gets there, and he sees...
But the actual Lunar City was on the moon.
Yeah.
So it got moved, like yeah, London
apparently
Bridge?
Apparently
it's...
It got moved.
So,
people,
so it's like when you go to the Lunar City on the moon, it says, hey, we moved to our new location in South America Earth.
I just wasted 600,000 miles.
So when he gets there, there's a bunch of Eclipsos there. And he's like, shit, what's going on? And they find out that the Lunar City here has been built
By Eclipso,
because Eclipso wants to basically grab the moon and like pull it into the Earth.
Yes.
Right.
And destroy it.
With a city.
With this Stonehenge city.
You know what? For Eclipso, sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
He's really into like mischief.
I don't know if that's necessarily mischief.
Well, that's what he's into. He's into murderous mischief.
Is destroying the entire world.
Murderous hijinks?
Him and the fixer hang out?
Him and the fixer, they're buddies. You know, they do. They're like, hey, you got your hijinks in my mischief. You got my, you know, whatever. So, actually, one of my favorite things, because like, Eclipso is just weird as shit. And I love reading his when he first debuted, because I have those on the black and white form. Mm-hmm. And it's one of these things where, you know, because basically the premise behind Eclipso is that Bruce Gordon got sliced with this black diamond, and the black diamond had the Heart of Darkness in it, and anytime there's an eclipse, but not just also, my favorite part about it in the early days, not just the sun eclipse, but if you were to block out a piece of light, and like if somebody was that and there was an eclipse, like, you know, like with your hand or something, like a piece of like circle. You know,
wait, if I was to tape like construction paper over all the lights in here, that counts?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yeah.
All right.
He would turn into Eclipso, and so he would just show up.
Oh, okay.
And he would just show up in things, and he would get his, you would turn to Eclipso, go find his costume and put it on. And then like, one of my favorite, I think the first time he ever shows up in public as Eclipso, shows up and just walks up on stage during like a solar like presentation or something. It's just like, hey, who's this guy? And he's like, doo, 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 doo. Like, aha, and he starts messing, like pulling things and ripping things. He's looking like an imp.
Does he have his own form, or is it only take over someone else's body?
He takes it. Usually he just takes over, well, in the originally, he just takes over the body mm-hmm. of whoever it is. So he'd take over Bruce Gordon, and he would, you know, get pointy ears, look like Telly Savalas for a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, with like a do-rag helmet, like a little elf hat. And then when the lights would, do something, when somebody would shine light, like sunlight on him, he would become like back to normal. Hmm. So, but then like he eventually be, you know, separated as a separate entity in these, you know, for the crossover and stuff like that, which is why Bruce Gordon was opposing him directly and why everybody had to fight him. See, I've done a lot of research on Eclipso. That's the only thing. That is literally the only thing I think you were the person. I saw you a couple years ago. We were at some thing at IO West, and I was wearing my Dr. Fate shirt, and you're like, Dr. Fate or Red Tornado or something like. Mm-hmm. And like I was like, that's what I do. That's what I do. I only go for the third the C heroes in the Marvel Universe or the DC universe.
Yep, so, that's true. So Valor's like, all right, there's all these Eclipsos. I'm going to have to fight these guys. So this is where he decides to get rid of his cape. Mm. So he has these, like, I don't know, giant cape clasps. I don't even know what they're called. And he pushes them, and his cape, like, retracts into them.
Oh, my God. And it's hilarious. Like, that wouldn't even work. If it was retracting into both those clasps, then it would be a shawl.
Yeah. Yes. And then what if it's like it pulls up really quick and it like whacks him in the back of the neck?
Yeah. Or it could strangle him. Like if it whips around, it's insane. And, it's like, or maybe, hey, here's an idea. Don't have a cape. Yeah, just don't wear
no
it.
No capes.
Yeah.
Maybe it splits in two. Like maybe it's like Velcroed together in the middle, and then when it hits it, it splits.
Because that's the only thing that makes sense. Because if it's a cape, it's like wearing a shirt. It would like pull up just a little, and mm-hmm. that's it. It's not going to do anything. But he hits it, and his cape retracts,
and he goes to town, starts fighting Eclipso.
He fights Eclipso, and he snaps thumbs.
Because he realizes that Eclipso is not. These aren't like
the real people.
People right. being possessed by Eclipso, because that's usually what Eclipso would do.
Right. These are just like...
like automatons?
Yeah.
Whatever they call them. So he's like, fuck it, I'll break their necks.
Yeah, right, and so he does.
He does.
And he kills all of them, mm-hmm. and then the actual Eclipso shows up. And they fight, basically. Mm-hmm. So they start fighting, and then... this is actually my favorite part, because like Eclipso shows up, and he looks at Valor through the diamond, and he like sends like darkness onto
well,
it's him.
Well, he's shooting the black energy.
Right. And so it like right, wraps around him. So all you can see is his chin. And he's just drawn in this way that he's just over it. Like, he's just... He's like, Valor, his face is just like, whatever, bro. Like, he's so angry.
This is Endgame, dude.
He's like, damn it, I gotta stall for time. And then I guess a bunch of other Eclipsos show up, and he starts talking to Eclipso. He's like, you've been in my head, I've been in yours. And he's like, yeah, well, I know that you're mad at your father.
Yeah. How dare you?
He's like, and I know that once I trigger the anger, that you have towards your father, you're going to take this black diamond and you're going to lose your shit and basically do what I want you to do.
Yeah, let me control you again.
Yes.
You maybe just hit him with a bunch of zigzags.
Oh, these are delicious.
I love these cookies.
It's like, anybody got coffee? So then he's like, oh, wait, the sun's coming up. You're not going to get me to work, you know, do anything with this diamond because I'm not that mad. So he actually...
He chills out.
He chills out, but he gives Eclipso the diamond back, which is very weird. He, like, throws it back to him.
It's like, yep, won't affect me. But yeah, but now he might give it to someone else. What
like,
are you doing?
That's
maybe
like
you should
the source
it.
Of his power. What are you doing giving it back
to him? He's got a lot of diamonds.
Yeah.
Eclipso has a lot of diamonds.
All right. And it's not just the one?
It's not just the one. He's got, like, a million diamonds.
Yes. So he's like, man, bluffing is everything in Paragon. And then, Father, you told me you'd leave the board set up. You said you'd be back. You never came back. And then he turns around and sees, like, what looks like a Paragon
he's having a vision.
Board. Yeah. And so he just breaks the shit out of all of them because he's so mad at his dad.
Smash that game.
Because his dad never came back.
Mm-hmm.
Because
he was
going to win.
Yeah.
Which I can't imagine this guy still can't figure this out. He literally says, but you lied, Father. You're never coming back. The game is over, and you should have been proud of me. Yeah. Like, he's literally...
Yep.
What if his dad's, like, one of those guys who just goes around to different towns and, like, beds women and just, like, plays games with his son?
Son, it was just a game.
So he goes around and he sleeps with all these women. He has a bunch of families. And the reason he stops visiting them is because his son finally gets to the point, or daughter gets to the point that he can beat them at this game.
Yeah.
And that's the
when
trigger.
He leaves.
And then he's like,
oh, sorry. I guess the marriage is over.
I'm done. Got to move on.
These are very good parenthood tips.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is also in your book as well, where if you play a game with your son to the point where he can beat you.
As soon as they can outsmart you, you have to leave.
You have to leave. Leave them in the middle of the game, too. So they carry horrible feelings about it forever. So he trashes he's trashing the Paragon board, but he's actually trashing the Lunar City thing. So then we go back to Luther, who apparently has had cameras on this whole thing. I'm assuming drone cameras, because I don't know how else.
Well, no, he followed them.
He borrowed them from the fixer.
He had a little thing follow him afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's what I mean, like a drone camera.
Yeah,
but he
drone
gets
camera.
Like the best camera angles. They all do.
Because it's good. Because it's
again,
supervillains have the best cameras.
They do inside of.
They should
sitting,
shoot movies.
They should.
Sitting in front of giant computers, as they always do. Like
who
they
would be the best supervillain director in your mind?
Galactus.
Yeah?
Because he could have a camera anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, Silver Surfer could hold the dolly. you could get all sorts of cool shots. The crane.
That was a very good answer, by the way. I was like, what's he going to think about it? I was like, you know, you had that loaded.
I was ready to go.
Nailed it.
So Luther's like, God damn it. So he's like, all right, fine. But first, I have to call in my friend Supergirl. And ask her to help this guy for his own good.
Yes, of course. It's always for his own good.
And then it says, next, boy meets girl.
Because, we see Supergirl, and she's like, I'm going to get him.
Yeah. Yep.
And this is back when Supergirl was actually not Supergirl, per se, but just the Matrix blob shaped like Supergirl.
Oh.
Yeah, she wasn't really Kara or whatever. It was like that's why she's hanging out with Luther, because she's really just a blob thing.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Is she 3D printed to look like Supergirl?
I think that blobs were the 90s 3D printer.
Nice. How long did Valor run?
Like, this probably only ran 90,
two issues.
No.
This is it.
This actually was beginning game. I think it only ran, Zero Hour came around in 94. So, and it ended just before Zero Hour because basically his fucking timeline got erased by that point.
Mm.
Probably maybe 20 issues, a couple of like from around there. Probably around 20, something like that. I think I might collect more of those. Answering my own, the question I was going to ask everybody here, but yes, I would probably buy the next issue of this book. It's going to be another one of those hunts I have. I'm currently doing it with Guy Gardner, a warrior. I'm kind of currently doing it with the Warlock of the Infinity Watch. So I might add Valor to that list.
Okay.
What about you?
No, I would not read this. Unless you make me read this. might show up on the show again.
I definitely would, because there's a lot of unanswered questions. Like, how does the cape mechanism work?
And will his father come back?
Will he finally learn it wasn't about the game?
Yeah, yeah. And I want to see how Blob Supergirl reacts to everything.
Yes.
Blob Supergirl, I like that.
Well,
that's it.
That's it for this week's show. And that is, that's it for Valor number one from November 1992. Mm-hmm. That's it for this week's show. Thank you, Chris, for being here.
Yes, oh,
it was great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Let's plug the Kickstarter one more time.
Absolutely. It's Long Ago and Far Away on Kickstarter. It is a minimum of 140-page graphic novel. There are some great rewards. It's going to be really cool. And it's not like an issue one or a first parter. It's the whole story. It's beginning, middle, and end. And that's why the goal is a little higher. We wanted to give everyone the whole story at one time. So, and we could really use your help on it. You could buy the book, you could pre-order it. There's some great Comedy Film Nerds tiers. And also, if you can't afford it, you know, just $5, you get like wallpaper for your devices or your computers. So even that really helps. So thanks a lot. And you got till May 2nd.
Cool. Yeah, so get on it, folks. Go to Kickstarter and check out Long Ago and Far Away.
Yeah.
And help out Chris. Let's make this reality.
Absolutely.
And thank you again for coming on the show. Yeah. ComedyFilmNerds.com.
Yes, ComedyFilmNerds.com and a Twitter, ComedyFilmNerds, and my personal Twitter is Chris J. Mancini.
And check it out. And I'm on Twitter, AngryHeroSean, S-H-A-W-N, Instagram as well, the Tumblr, TheAngryHero.tumblr.com.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, JenStansfield.tumblr.com, and JenStansfield.wordpress.com, where I still continue to review Gotham. I am the Gilmore Girls.
She's watching Gotham.
I'm still doing it. Wow. I'm still doing it. It's terrible. Yeah. So that's it.
Wow.
Donald Logue is the only
best of luck on that.
Yeah, thank you. No, Donald Logue really is the best part of the entire show because he is amazing.
I bailed after the end of season one. I'm like, oh, I'm done.
No, that was the smart move.
But yeah, so that's it for this week's show. And also SideshowNetwork.tv. Thank you, Sideshow Network. Go to SideshowNetwork.tv for all the great shows here. Gilbert Gottfried, Eliza Schlesinger, Adam Ray, Brad Williams are all on our network along with ourselves. And you can check them out there. So, and please go to iTunes. Review, rate, subscribe, tell a friend. If you like the show, give us 5 stars if you think we deserve it. So that's it for this week, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye.